developing. And really, the bottom line is, I'm talking to every single person here today because of this reason. Not only do we have all these things to build as adults, but all of us have a life to build. We as parents are building little lives, aren't we? And leading them in the right way or the wrong way, we are leading our children. And all of us, even if you're not a parent today, and if you were a parent, it would be a parent, but even if you're not a parent today, we all are leading people either to heaven or leading people to hell. We are leading whether we realize it or not. They are in our workplace. They're at our schools, which we're about to go back to. They're in our circles of life. These leadership principles will apply to all of us. I was privileged to be the leader this morning and teach, in Brother Jerry's absence, the youth class. I was proud. We had, eight or nine in there this morning, which was great. I was proud to do that. And I practiced with the teenagers a little bit of verbalization this morning because they need practice at that. So, teenagers, if you're listening this morning, would you say amen? Okay. It worked up in the room. And I really thought I had an amen corner set up and ready for today. Guys, let me down. Nehemiah was a Jewish man living hundreds of miles away from his home of Jerusalem in captivity in Persia. He heard about the walls of Jerusalem lying in waste. You know from previous lessons, he was devastated. He prays and he weeps and he fasts and he plans. And now he sees a miracle happen. The king actually breaks his own law, gives him permission to go home and start rebuilding, and he goes there and just sits still for 3 days. We'll talk about that. The king gives him protection in the form of an armed guard with him, and then he gives him all the provisions that he will need along the way. And after 120 long days of praying and planning, Nehemiah gets everything that he needs from the king in one 10-minute conversation. It's already a miracle. But guess what? The walls have not been rebuilt. You know, the main thing has not yet happened. He gets to Jerusalem and doesn't start. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment, but I am just amazed at the truth that we see already of how God has already worked this miracle in the life of Nehemiah on behalf of His people. When God opens a door, no man can shut it. And when God closes the door on a deal, no man can kick it in. Nehemiah goes from being the cupbearer to being the contractor and God's anointed leader of His people. And there's some great principles of leadership that we've got to get out of this morning, tonight, probably the most important ones, except for next Sunday morning, the eighth and final one, not in your bulletin, the most important one. But all of these are important, and let's do something this morning. And since the teens are leaving me hanging, if you're with me this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. Principles of leadership. Number one, leaders understand the value of solitude. If you're not already there, please look at the back of your bulletin and write this down, please. We don't always insist. We're not all about taking notes, but this is too important. Leaders understand the value of solitude. Leaders spend lots of time alone. Verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. Let's keep going. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I did, neither what had I as yet told to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Folks, Nehemiah was alone. And even as he writes this, it's like he's not writing it to us. It's like he's saying, "Dear diary, here's what I did tonight. And you're the only one who's ever going to know it." That's kind of the spirit in which he wrote this. But God inspired it for our benefit, and we get a glimpse into it, the value of solitude that he as a leader understood. Leaders like Nehemiah are people who are awake when other people are sleeping. Most of us don't like to be alone, do we? But we need to revise and remember the value of solitude. We don't like being alone. We're used to constant conversation. We're used to constant companionship. We are used to the noise, and technology has brought us more burdens than it has blessings, it seems, in our lives, because we're never alone. We never can totally get away from this world, it seems like. And we've grown accustomed to the noise. Be honest. Even when you are alone in the car, you can't stand it. You turn the radio on, don't you? You got to have some noise there. And these teenagers post on their Facebook page, "Bored. It's been over 5 minutes since I heard from anyone. HTC. That's hit the cell, I've learned from younger people than I. 5 minutes? How have you made it this long? Now you admit it too. If you're at home alone, the TV's got to be on, doesn't it? Even if you're vacuuming and can't possibly hear it, at least there's somebody here with me. See them? There they are on the screen. And if your computer dies or the power goes off, then maybe you'll talk to God, you know, since there's nothing better to do. Leaders understand that solitude has great value. And leaders understand that times of quiet are vital in life, especially for you as a leader. Write it down, please. In the quiet, we receive a clear vision from God. It's in the quiet that we receive a clear, and then that blank is vision from God. He wants to speak to us, if only he can get a word in edgewise amongst all the noise. He will speak to us if he can cut through and get through. Nehemiah needed 3 days to hear from God. Before he begins the work, he wants to pause and make sure that he does it God's way and not his own way. Otherwise, he'll be wasting time. Otherwise, he'll be wasting money. Now, some would look at Nehemiah and look at him sitting still for 3 days and say, "Now that's the waste of time right there. He could have been 3 days along the way on the project of building the walls. You can do a lot in 3 days." But it's never a waste of time to get alone with God. That's a good place for an amen right there, folks. Never, never is it a waste of time to get alone with God. Later it was proven that Nehemiah was actually miles ahead of the game because of the time that he sat still. This multi-year project, by anyone else's estimation, was accomplished in 52 short days. Unbelievable what happened. And so we can't fault him for taking 3 days here at the beginning. Time spent in prayer and planning is always recovered in performance. I should have made that a blank in the bulletin this morning. Jot it down. Time spent in prayer and planning is always recovered in performance. You see, we should not just rush into our day. We must take time to pray. You may have heard the old poem. It says, "I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Troubles just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, 'You didn't ask.' I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, 'Why, child, you didn't knock.' I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, you didn't seek. So I woke up early this morning, and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to make time to pray. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot outgive God. We say that so many times here, many times talking about our giving financially in the offering plates. You can't outgive God. It's true. But listen, it's true in all areas of our life. You can't outgive God when it comes to your time. Give Him time each day, and He will give you more back. It's just a proven fact. Give Him His time, and watch Him give you more time back. I challenge you. Give Him 3 services a week, and you'll have more free time than those who lay out of church. And remember the reason they laid out of church? I didn't have time. You'll have more free time than they have. Of course, they can have it too. Put God first. Put God first. Remember when Elijah found himself so discouraged? He was needing God and he was discouraged. And he got alone with God on a high mountain. Here's the value of solitude. He got alone with God. He wants to hear from God. And then he heard it. A mighty wind, and oh, the sound of a great wind, you know? But God was not in the wind. And then he heard another big sound, didn't he? A rumbling earthquake with powerful noise. But God was not in the earthquake. Then a fierce fire swept through. But God was not in the fire. And then he heard what you can only hear in the quiet place, in the solitude, the still, small voice of God. Have you heard that? Have you heard it lately? It's time for us to be still and know our God. It's time to listen and let Him cut through the noise. It's time to make our prayer a two-way street. Not all us firing at Him, but listening to Him respond to us. The still, small voice of God. It's in the quiet that we receive a clear vision from God. Under that, it's in the quiet we receive the power of God. In the quiet we receive the power of God. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Nehemiah knew that this undertaking that he was involved in was impossible without the power of God. Now, would you look this way, please? At Grace Baptist Church, I think by now, going on 9 years that I've been here, I think by now we've seen what we can do. And I'm not satisfied. It's time we see what God can do. It's time we see what He can do. How did Moses prepare for his ministry? 40 years alone in the desert. How did the Apostle Paul prepare? 3 years alone in the Arabian desert. I mean, he went into the desert with his knapsack and came out with the book of Romans 3 years later. Jesus spent 40 days in solitude in the wilderness, fasting and praying in order to come out and defeat the devil and yield not to his temptations. Now, folks, if Christ needed solitude, how much more do you and I need it, especially in the day in which we live today? We need it, and we're going to have to find it on purpose. We're going to have to make it happen. I've got some verses to put up on the screen. The first one is Mark 1:35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, that's Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Luke 4:42. When it was day, he, Jesus, departed and went into a desert place. Luke 5:16. He, Jesus, withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Matthew 14:22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. You know how to send the multitude away? Sometimes it just means you running from them. I can't get them to leave, so I'm going to have to leave. John 6:15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed into a mountain himself alone. Luke 22:41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. You know what? These days that may be as far away as you can get. Maybe a stone's cast will be good if you're able to get that far away, but do it. You can do it. John 12:36, these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. If you've got to, hide! You with little kids, how are you going to get away? We'll pray for you. I'm here to say this morning. We will never have the vision and the power of God amidst the noise and clatter of this world. We have to get alone with God, and leaders have recognized the importance, the value of solitude. It was in the eerie solitude of Bethel that Jacob was granted visions from God. It was when Moses was alone in the desert that he saw that burning bush. It was when Joshua walked unattended under the stars at Jericho that the captain of the Lord's host appeared unto him and spake to him. It was while Isaiah was alone in the temple that a live coal touched his lips and changed his life forever. It was when Mary was alone that the angel brought the message of the Lord. It was when Elisha was plowing his lonely furrow that the prophet Elijah's mantle fell upon his shoulders. Abraham wandered and worshipped alone. Daniel dined and prayed alone. And my Jesus lived and died alone. And we need to learn the value of solitude. It's a lost art today, and it'll only happen on purpose. It won't happen because you wrote it in your bulletin. It won't happen because you've enjoyed this point. It will only happen if we go out of here with a purpose in our heart. We've got to restructure life. Or life is going to live me instead of me living it. A leader sees more in the night than most people can see in the bright light. Because they see what God has for us to see. Only seen in solitude. Leaders understand the importance of solitude. Number two, leaders patiently gather all the facts. Leaders patiently gather all the facts. Look again at verse 13. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. Verse 14, then I went on to the gate of the fountain, to the king's pool. Stop right there. Nehemiah is on a reconnaissance mission right here. He's gathering all the facts. He's carefully surveying close up this situation firsthand. Leaders don't rush into a project ill-prepared. Before you can lead, you must learn. Leaders make a mess of things when they try to rush ahead and lead without doing their homework. You know, nobody seems to have the time to do it right, but everybody finds the time to do it over. Have you noticed that before? We don't have the time to do it right, but we'll make the time to do it over. Why? Because we did it wrong. It's my motto when it comes to all construction. Measure once, cut twice, or three times, or four times. We find the time to do it over, don't we? How about doing our work ahead in planning and gathering all the facts? Nehemiah starts by the gate of the valley. Guess where that is? It's on the southwest wall. Then he moves to the dung port. Hungry yet? That's on the southeast wall. All the good restaurants in the dung port. The southeast wall is where he's moved to. Then he moves to the gate of the fountain. Guess where that is? It's on the northern wall. He's obviously making a round of it all. He's making notes. He's saying, we're going to need a craftsman over here on this gate. These hinges are unusable. We'll need a carpenter over here where these gates were burned. We'll need stonemasons over here to build up the wall in this spot where it's crumbled so badly. He's making notes of the manpower, the materials, and the money that it's going to take to do this project. Now, here's the way a lot of people live their lives. If I'm lucky, things will work out. And they look at somebody and things have worked out in their favor and they say, that person's lucky. They're so lucky. Listen, luck is where preparation meets opportunity. That's the definition of luck, biblically speaking. Where preparation, that's what Nehemiah did, meets opportunity, that's what Nehemiah had. God gave him the opportunity, I think, because he was prepared. Nehemiah wasn't lucky. He was prepared. Most of us would be shocked if we realized how many opportunities passed us by just this week. We didn't even recognize the opportunity, much less seize it. We didn't even recognize that it was an opportunity, much less seize the opportunity, the open door that God flung open before our eyes, because we weren't prepared. We would rather pray for a miracle than prepare. In our society today, many of us would rather pray for a miracle after the fact than prepare before the fact. People today would rather sit around and hope for a miracle in their finances than take a few minutes to budget and do some wise financial planning. We would rather ask others to pray for our kids to straighten out their life than be willing to set some ground rules of discipline and be willing, when they test those rules, to stand up and get up off that couch and enforce it and our word be good for our word. We'd rather pray after the fact that God would somehow erase what we didn't plan out right, what we didn't do right. Listen, God will only do what He can do after He sees that we are willing to do what we can do. God helps those who help themselves. When Lazarus died, Jesus came and told the people for them to roll the stone away from the tomb. Once they rolled the stone away, then He raised Lazarus from the dead, didn't He? Well, it begs the question, if Jesus is that powerful to be able to raise someone from the dead, why not go whoosh, with your fingers and roll that stone? It really would have been impressive. Right? I'll tell you why. Because He wanted the people to do what they could do before He would do what only He could do. Sure, He could go whoosh, but they could roll the stone too. And He wanted to see if they would, in faith, do that. Now, brother, in Bible college, I wanted to preach. I wanted to preach now. Turn me loose. I wanted opportunities to be in the ministry. And so I sat and waited for an invitation. Maybe my phone will ring with an invitation to preach. It never rang. I thought, surely someone from the Billy Graham Association would come by campus some weekend and say, Billy's sick today. Can you come fill in? But God used a wise teacher of mine, my tennis teacher. Come to think of it, to teach me something. And to come alongside me and say, Jerry, why don't you come with me this weekend to this halfway house for alcoholics? And why can I preach? No, I'm preaching. And just talk to some of the guys there. Talk to them about Jesus. Well, I did. And I found as I was talking to these guys that I started preaching. And it was the ideal situation because they couldn't leave. It was a captive audience. It was the perfect win-win. Okay? And then I heard about an apartment complex called Sunrise Apartments. And that there was no Bible club, no outreach from the college there to Sunrise Apartments. They needed a Bible club. And God told me to go start it by playing with the kids, something I didn't really care that much to do. Go play with the kids and get a group out of their house and get them to go get their friends and sit them down on the steps, the stairwell that leads up to second floor, and then you can preach to them. And that's exactly what I did. I was happy recently to hear that Sunrise Bible Club is still in existence there in Pensacola, Florida. As the teens would say from this morning, all these decades later. Oh, they hurt me this morning. Right in here. For years, God wanted me to be willing to do what I could do. And today, He's showing me things that only He can do. And I'm loving it. And some think I'm a lucky guy. And I have to agree when I look at my wife and my kids and so many things in my life, but then I look at the Word of God today, and the Bible says I'm a blessed guy, and I realize it's in large part because I prepared. I prepared. I did my homework. I was willing to do what I could do. And now I'm seeing what God can do. So, number three, what else can we learn? Leaders keep their eye on the big picture. Leaders keep their eye on the big picture. I want to show you something fascinating in verse 15 and then on the screen. Verse 15 says, "Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall." By the brook. Look at the screen here. An artist's imagination of this, and I think a good one. What is this brook? It's called the Brook Kidron. Some of you have been there. It's located on the Mount of Olives. Nehemiah has left his close-up tour of the walls. You know, when you're walking this close to the wall and it looks like this to you. When it looks huge and it looks like, how can I possibly do this? He's now climbed a nearby mountain, the closest, highest place around, the Mount of Olives, to step back and to see the big picture. Jesus sat on that same mountain overlooking Jerusalem, and by the way, He wept as He sat there and looked at it from that vantage point. Nehemiah now has an overview of the ruins and also a vision of what it will look like when he's done with it. He can't see that with his eyes. He has to close his eyes to see that part. He opens his eyes, broken down walls, charred gates. He closes his eyes, he sees something like this view on the screen now. Leaders do this. And if leaders don't do this, then they can't see the forest for the trees. Leaders plan out the details, but they don't get bogged down in the details and the minutiae. He just keeps his eye on the big picture now. Now he is the project manager. Now he has to delegate. Now he must trust others with the details. And they say the successful leader surrounds himself with people who can do the job better than he can or she can. Now he's got to delegate and trust others with the details while he makes sure that the main project is on track. Now, some of you are amazed when you come to me as the pastor of Grace Baptist Church and ask me questions about Grace Baptist Church, how I don't seem to know what's going on around here. I don't know the answers. Well, I always know who will know, who I can point you to. And yes, it's usually Brother McKee, okay, who knows what's really going on around here, or Brother Yoder, who really runs the place, you know, like an evil lair up there in his office. I may not know what's going on, but I know somebody who will know the answer to your question. Case in point, recently somebody came to me with three questions. They said, who did the new roof? What did the materials cost? How did they fix those portions that were damaged? I answer, some good guys did it for a good price, and I can tell you this, it don't leak no more. Yeah. Now listen, micromanagers and control freaks, they wear out and they fall by the wayside. They break down quickly. We need to step back and get the big picture. Plan the details, but then turn them over and turn them loose. The body of Christ, turn God's people loose doing God's work. And all of them can do it way better than you could, all on your own. What do we have so far? Keep your eye on the big picture. Gather all the facts. And solitude, number four. And I'm so excited about 5, 6, and 7 for tonight. Did I mention I want you back for that? Number four, leaders carefully choose their words. Leaders carefully choose their words. Something I'm still trying to learn. Many of us struggle with. Look at verse 16. And the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. He didn't spout off everything he knew right away. Leaders don't speak until it's time to speak. They don't run off at the mouth until they know what they're talking about. I used to think that I had to share everything that came to my mind as soon as it popped into my head. Here's everything I know on that subject. And as I spouted off, I revealed that I often don't know what I'm talking about. I thought I was impressing folks with all my knowledge, but they were rolling their eyes behind my back saying, "There he goes again." What's the old saying? It's better to keep your mouth closed and be thought a fool than to open your mouth wide and remove all doubt. Was that Abe Lincoln? Good. Thank you, brother. Hey, if you share all the details too soon, before people are ready to receive them, you might start a groundswell of discouragement before you ever start. Because human nature is for us to think of reasons that it can't be done. So you wait for the right time. You wait for God's timing. Wait for God to open the door. Remember, this same project, rebuilding the walls, was attempted just a few years before. 10, 15, I think it was, years before. And the project was shut down by the king. Nehemiah knows that the number one thing that he is going to hear once he starts sharing the details of what they're there for, we're going to rebuild this wall, is what? We tried that before, won't work. Did it that way before, doesn't work. Let us save you some time. Verse 12. Going back to verse 12. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Tell anybody what God told me, he says. Neither was there any with me. Listen, you don't jump up and tell everything that you know immediately. You wait for God's time and place like Nehemiah did. Now I promise you folks, with that said, that I know that God has some really big plans for this place. And I've got to believe that the time is now. I believe it's why he kept us around, all of us. And I can't tell you all the details right now, and I'll just be honest, I don't have it all crystal clear myself yet. That's part of the problem. But if I did share with you everything that I know right now, it would either scare you, or it might overly excite you to the point where you can't really focus on the plate that God has set before us right now. Okay? So we're going to continue with some more leadership principles tonight, and as God leads, we're going to reveal some of those visions for the future as well. And I hope that you're here for it all. I hope that you're back for it tonight. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you need to get on board, you need to join this church, would you just come forward during this invitation and make it public? We're looking for 30 new members by the end of the year. That's one of our goals here. You can help us add to the four that came forward last week. All right? If you're here and you're not sure if you're saved, let us help you get saved today. And otherwise, if you're here and you're just a church member, but you want to be the leader that God wants you to be, and you want to say, "Pastor, I'm with you," then I would encourage you to stick with us in this book study of Nehemiah. I encourage you to do what I'm doing. Hang on every word. I don't want to miss anything that God has for us. And let's just trust. Let's wait. Perhaps our best point for this morning is number one, solitude. Perhaps we all just need to get our own corner, whether it's here at this altar, or one of these front pews, or the pew right where you sit, to just spread out a little bit and just get alone with God and say, "Now, God, here's my prayers, but now I'm not going to get up. I'm going to sit still and listen." We've even got plenty of time, folks. We've been getting out early here of late. There's no rush whatsoever. We're just going to talk to God, tell Him our heart, and then sit still and let Him speak to you. We serve the same God, so I'm going to be shocked if He doesn't give you some of the same visions that He's giving our current leadership team. And then let us come together as the body of Christ by God's grace to do it. Let's do some reconnaissance. Let's gather the facts. And then let's go out and do it. Let's go do it. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We need a vision from God. After I pray, would you come find your quiet place here or there or everywhere? Just get alone with God. And don't just talk to Him, then stop and listen. Spend as long as you did talking, listening. And if He starts speaking to you, don't get up until He's done. That would be rude. Let's get a vision from God. Let's take the lead as a church. Let's be the leaders God would have us to be. Father, this morning, thank You for Your supreme example of leadership and the great example of Nehemiah. Lord, I pray You'd make me the leader that You want me to be for this church, and that You'd raise up many more around me, that You'd do it in our hearts right now, and help us to have other decisions too, according to Your Spirit's leading now, in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Please remain seated, unless you're going to stand and come to this altar. Find a quiet place, wherever it is. We could use some here at the altar, get away from those that are close by you right now. Let's have some quiet time before God right now. Step back